hometown discounts, as they say?
That doesn't exist. Not in my world. In my eyes, I've given this organization a 5-year hometown discount already.
Welcome, everybody, to episode 35 of Sports from the Six. I'm Joe Narsa alongside my fabulous and esteemed co-host, Flip Livingstone.
What's up, people?
Me and Flip are here today because we have put in our contract demands.
That's it.
A la Jose Bautista. And Flip, we are not getting paid.
Well, I would say we're not getting paid yet.
Right.
But
they'll bend.
They're going to bend because I gave them a discount last time.
Right.
Like, the city got a discount. They got off the free last
city,
time.
Yeah.
The whole city. This time, like, my personality and what I bring to the table is going to cost a little bit, Joe.
Like, the next 35 episodes...
Oh, my God.
...are going to cost you hard. It's going to be an expensive 35.
But it's going to be worth it. It's going to be delicious, ear-enjoying sound and tones. How was that?
That's pretty good.
Yeah, that's not bad.
We're going to flip mics.
You know
what?
Flip. When I think about what Jose Bautista said yesterday, if we want to get serious for a quick second,
maybe,
which we try to do.
I haven't done it yet.
Is I got to give him props because he could have said absolutely nothing. He could have come out and said, you know what? I'm not going to say anything. He could have said that as well and come out and just kind of shafted everybody. But he lit a fire under both Shapiro and Atkins, and he let everyone know, look, guys, fans of Toronto, I've killed it for you guys. Let's not forget the playoffs as well. Side note. And this is what's going to go down. I deserve to be paid what I think I deserve to be paid, and that's it. And I respect it. And you know what? I know you have a different take on it.
Yeah.
But at the bare bones of just the statement, like whether the Jays keep him or not,
right,
or what he's worth or what he's not, I give him props for coming out and saying, this is how I'm going to deal with it, just so you guys know, and I'm not settling for less. And I'll give him props for that.
See, the thing is, I totally respect the way Jose Bautista believes that he was underpaid.
Mm.
I don't believe that he gave Toronto a hometown discount when
right.
he had one good season and Alex Anthopoulos threw out a large chunk of money to a flash in the pan who panned out.
Right.
For me, the thing... At first, listening to, you know, Jose Bautista saying he's not giving hometown discounts, those things don't exist.
Right.
I was like, I think the fan in me jumped out and was like, man, that's okay.
It's kind of abrasive.
Yeah.
It's a little bit abrasive.
But then I realized, no, he's absolutely right. That doesn't
mm-hmm.
exist because,
mm-hmm.
you know, money makes the world go round. And when it comes to, especially in baseball, you can't guarantee you're ever going to get to the playoffs, let alone win a World Series.
Right.
So your salary and your statistics is realistically all you have to look back on unless mm-hmm. you're lucky enough to win a World Series.
100%.
Or play for the Giants every 2 years.
Right.
But I think what caught me off guard is, and I've had this problem with Jose Bautista over his entirety being a Toronto Blue Jay ever since he became a superstar, because I think in year one and two of his stardom,
mm-hmm.
he wasn't like this.
No.
He seems to have this uncanny ability to say the wrong thing or say something in the wrong tone of voice or the wrong way.
Okay.
It's kind of like the same problem I have with LeBron James.
Uh-oh.
Both of them say things, and you're just like, why? Why? Why did you have to come out and say, no, there's no such thing as a hometown discount, and there's no negotiation. I gave them a number, and this is the number they're going to have to meet me at.
Mm-hmm. Well.
It's like, I understand that. I understand that that's
right,
how you're working it.
Mm-hmm.
But then that's not logical business posturing. You should have went in with a number you would never imagine they would give you and then work them down to the number you want. Do you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, because
just the way he comes off, the way he says
right.
things.
No, and I get that.
I can make you feel awkward about the way he is, and sometimes you question
his
attitude.
You're questioning the attitude, and
right.
I can understand where you're coming from on it. I guess when I look at Bautista and his attitude and the way he carries himself, a lot of people say he's mouthy. A lot of people say whatever, he's cocky and he whatever on the field, he carries himself in a certain way that rubs players the wrong way.
But that's what makes him great.
I think that's fine because he puts up. You know, put up or shut up, he puts up. And if I know it's a small sample size because he's only been in the playoffs the past season, but doesn't that go farther to even show that he is so clutch? That was his first kick at the can. He hit 300, four dingers, and 11 RBIs in, what was it, six games? No, not six games. Sorry, 10 games in the playoffs. 10, 11. Anyway, it was an unreal playoff run for him. And I just think coming off the season he had, coming off the off season that he's had, just the love he's gotten from the city, I would be shocked, if he doesn't get the money. And I know you kind of disagree that maybe he's not the one they should sign if we're talking about him or Edwin Encarnacion.
Yeah, well, here's the thing.
Like one of the other scenarios.
I agree with you that I think the Blue Jays should sign Jose Bautista.
Okay.
Because I've been as vocal as probably anybody else in the city that I do not understand this budget bull.
Oh, you're vocal, all right.
So, for me, I don't see why you can't sign Jose Bautista. Same reason why I thought, why can't you sign David Price? For me, I just think that if we're going to have the conversation that the Blue Jays do have a budget, there's no way that you can sign Jose Bautista and Edwin Encarnacion for, I would say, upwards of $200-plus million between the two. Mm-hmm. Because that's just not the way the Blue Jays do business. It never has been since they won the World Series and were the highest payroll in baseball.
Okay, that right there is an interesting point that you now bring up because that's very true. But Paul Beeston's Blue Jays are gone.
Right.
This is now Shapiro's ship to run.
But these guys seem worse.
But we don't know how they're going to take things. You know what I mean? I just, in terms of if you want to base it on that, I would have said 2 years ago, I agree. They're not going to do something like that. Splash with two big bats with big long-term, maybe even not long-term, but big money deals.
Right.
I would have wholeheartedly agree. But because Atkins and Shapiro are now in, maybe they're not inclined to do the same. That's probably the smartest move. But who knows, right? Who knows? They're also in a scenario where PR-wise, and from the fans, like,
it's been terrible.
We've talked about it, the negative feelings around it, that I just don't see them doing something to rock the boat more in the negative way. I don't know how it can go more negative, except if they don't bring back one or both of those guys.
Well, here's the thing. When you really look at what this management team has done in the get-go, all they've done is had to take the brunt force of the fact that Rodgers won't shell out more dough.
Right.
I mean, it's no disrespect to Ross Atkins or Mark Shapiro when I say that they have the worst start to a set of executives in Toronto sports history.
Now, can we give them a sec that they're coming into a scenario where it was so lovey-dovey with Anthopoulos because of what had happened?
Right, 100%.
That they're kind of almost set up to fail.
Agreed.
Right? So we got to get that out of the way there.
For sure. Like, I don't think either of us has said that they've done good or bad. They've done nothing.
No.
They've just started. The issue is that the first thing that happened was Toronto made the mistake in not firing Anthopoulos the summer, this winter before the season started.
Because
clearly they wanted to go in a different direction from the get-go.
That is becoming more apparent, yes.
They went and hired a guy halfway through knowing what was going to happen in a season that was 500. 500 means average. Average means I don't know. You still haven't made a decision on the season, so you go and make a decision on owner and on management. Big mistake. Alex Anthopoulos pulls off miracles. The Blue Jays
miracles.
Are fantastic.
He may as well have been parting the sea.
Right.
Yeah.
And not only was Alex Anthopoulos cheered and revered for the moves he made, no pun intended, because he got
Revere.
Ben Revere, right? Nice.
I'm on board.
He was partying with the squad. He swore on live TV. He was a person, and everybody literally grabbed him like he was their own.
Yeah.
And then these guys come in, and one looks like a robot. He looks like RoboCop, and he scares me.
No, that's...
And then Ross Atkins, I mean, the guy, you know nothing about him, and the more you kind of look at the situation, you're like, okay, can I just not listen and talk to Mark?
For a sec, you know how I'm kind of good with comparing athletes to, celebrities and other people?
Yes.
Doesn't Ross Atkins look like that guy from The Office? I don't watch the
Dwight?
Show. Is it Dwight? He's the one that's, the crazy, quirky guy with the glasses?
The assistant to the manager, yes.
Doesn't he look... And he's assistant to the manager!
Yeah, he's not the assistant manager, by the way. He's the assistant to the manager, so he assists the manager.
There you go.
That's
so
the
it's
issue. I totally agree.
Okay,
that's amazing.
Is he the same guy? We're gonna
basically.
Anyway, we're going to get a picture up on the Twitter account because I've been killing the comparisons. Just go look Andre Pirlo and Henrik Lundqvist. You're welcome.
Same dude, yeah.
Anyway, what were we talking about?
So, here's the
thing.
With this management staff...
Boom, there it is.
They're now at a position where I think it's going to be tough for them to walk into that office and be like, hey, boys, I need $240 million for Edwin Encarnacion and Jose Bautista.
Okay, that will be hard.
So.
But is that not easier? Sorry to cut you off. No, go ahead. In a sec. Isn't that not easier than going to the clubhouse and going, you know what, boys? Sorry.
But that doesn't matter.
Your heart and soul is gone.
That doesn't matter.
Doesn't it, though?
No, see, here's the thing. I get what you're saying on
this. I'm just talking about tangible on-field, like,
right. No, things. I agree.
But business and sense, you're making more sense.
That's the issue, right? Like, and that's the biggest problem that Toronto Blue Jays fans have been dealing with for, like, the last friggin' 20 years.
Don't get me started, Joe.
Stop telling us about the situation and about the budget and how this is good for us going forward.
Right.
It's not what the team needs. The Toronto Blue Jays finally have a core that they haven't seen in 20 years, and all they've done so far is not insulate it with the pieces they need. They're insulating it with pieces they hope will fill the holes you have.
Mm-hmm.
It's like sticking a Band-Aid on a cut when you need a stitch. You just can't do it. Sometimes you have to spend the money on the doctor to give you the stitches. In this case, what's happening is the Blue Jays didn't afford David Price. And I think the dumbest thing that Shapiro has done this far, and this is the only thing I critique him on.
Here we go.
Is he said, oh, obviously we wanted David Price. What do you mean, obviously? Did you even offer him a fake contract? Did you offer him a contract on any type of parameters?
Nope.
Like, me and you have said this off air, and I don't know if I've talked about this, but I said, why didn't you offer David Price $40 million a year for 3 years? Give him $45 million a year for 3 years.
So just splash a stupid number.
Yeah, but you're killing the term. You're signing him long term. You're not signing him long term, and you're giving him the money to give him a choice so that when you go to the Blue Jays fans and say, hey, listen, he said he wanted to be here and he made us look bad, but guess what? I gave him an extra $14 million a year, or an extra $13 million a year for 2 or 3 years because, look, guys, our team is a little older. We're not going to be a stud for 7 years.
Yeah.
So we tried. And they would have said, you know what? Shame on you, David Price. You said you love Toronto. The popcorn was good enough.
Well, the popcorn's delicious.
Right? But in this case, they're doing it again. They're saying, oh, we want this guy, but on our terms. It doesn't always work.
I tend to think about when teams talk money and budget, especially in baseball, especially in the market that I know the best, Toronto.
Yeah.
And I know where the money's coming from for this team. Rogers is a conglomerate of all conglomerates. It's the biggest business maker in our country.
Mm-hmm.
I don't care when it comes down to dollars and cents. Like, if we're talking about the Jays being at whatever number they're at right now, in their head, Joey's asking for whatever number. If it comes down to a couple million dollars, I hate when they nitpick and, like, go, oh, no, we're not going. He wants six. We're only going 4.25. I hate that stuff. I get it. It's got to come down to business sometimes and dollars and cents, and you can't give the money. In leagues where there's contracts and hard caps and things like that, I get it. But in baseball, when it's just luxury tax and you're going to get a little slap on the pee-pee and that's the worst,
yeah,
give the man his money. And it'll be interesting to see what Rob Marsiglio thinks when he jumps on, but I think Jose coming out and saying what he did yesterday, I'll give him credit for it if it translates into something positive for the team. If not, you know me. I'm Toronto first. I won't care for it after that.
Yeah.
If it ends up being detrimental to the team and now it's going to take away from his performance on the field or other players on the team, or I don't care if it's negative. It was the bad move, right? It was the wrong move.
I agree with you. Like, I was wholeheartedly in it with Jose. I think he's right in that he deserves the money.
Mm.
The issue is, so now let's be, you know, Ross Atkins and Shapiro.
Check.
We're sitting here. We have a budget that's been stated by everybody that I trust in Toronto sports media that it's around $140 million.
Okay.
Let's say we have the $10 million to play here and there just in case we need to pick up a guy at the deadline.
Why not?
Who cares? Right.
Yeah.
Jose Bautista, his baseline is $100 million over 5 years.
I like that. I like that number.
Okay. Edwin Encarnacion, I feel like for some reason, the number that I keep getting in my head is $18 million a year.
Mm-hmm.
For some reason, that's the number I have.
Okay.
Let's say $16 to $18 million a year.
Okay.
Okay. That is very close to being two players at $200 million. And that's if Jose and Edwin don't have an idea that the market might inflate because of how much they like them, the fact that the Yankees might be interested in Jose, because our boy Israel was telling us that that's a potential, and that also Edwin Encarnacion and the Red Sox might be a match made in heaven because of Poppy leaving.
If one of those guys goes to either of those teams, that's just so sad and depressing.
Yeah.
Like, oh, man, let's not go there, but all go ahead. You were making great points.
So now let's sit here, and we have both baseball cards on the table. We can sign one. We can't sign the other one.
Mm-hmm.
Flip, who are you signing?
I guess you could already tell from what I've been talking and how passionate I am about and how I believe that this is Joey's team.
Yeah.
I gotta sign Bautista. Not taking away from what Edwin Encarnacion can do with the bat. He is a big bopper and is also a clutch hitter. But Joey in the outfield with the arm, with the glove, the way he leads on and off the field, I just think he brings too many things to the table. And if I'm going with one or the other, my pick hands down is Jose Bautista. I say give him the money. If that means we're taking money away from Edwin's contract and not giving him the money, I'm still okay with it. I just think Joey's the man, Joe. I really do. And I'm very, very curious to see what Rob Marsiglio thinks about it as well.
Yeah, well, definitely I want to hear what Rob has to say. But you don't want to hear what I think?
Okay, Joe. Go. Yeah, you know what? Rob can wait. Go ahead, Joe. Who are you taking? If it's down to Eddie and Joey, who are you taking?
Sorry about that, by the way. I'm definitely the Ross Atkins in this analogy.
Sorry about that, by the way. I totally cut you off.
And Ross, what do you? Sorry, bud. What do you think before we break to lunch? Because we don't really care.
Well, you have more hair than me too. Shapiro's kind of bald, so
he's losing it. Yeah. Okay. Here's the way I look at it.
Go ahead.
I completely agree with you about everything about Jose Bautista. It's his team. He's the emotional leader. He's the driving force.
But.
Yeah, the massive but. Because Jose Bautista, to me, is the MVP of the Blue Jays, although Josh Donaldson was the MVP of the league.
So you're making it quite hard to
It's
going to
be terrible.
Him.
It's okay. going to be terrible.
Okay.
But I would sign Edwin Encarnacion.
All that being said, you're still going with Eddie. Explain.
All that being said.
Explain.
Edwin Encarnacion is 33 years old.
Point one for you.
Edwin Encarnacion has the same setup of intangibles minus the driving leadership. Edwin Encarnacion is a self-made superstar. He is a fantastic film guy off the field. He does a lot of work.
Okay,
he's got a good eye.
That's point two for you.
He's a great hitter.
Point three.
He's already a DH / first baseman, so we know he's not going to be hurting himself out in the outfield throwing the ball. Edwin.
Half point.
Half point, I will take it.
You know that game, that show where they go ding, 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 and they just get points for things?
Yes.
So you're at 3.5. Go ahead.
So then this is probably my biggest factor for why I would keep Edwin Encarnacion.
Mm-hmm.
You look at what the Boston Red Sox had in the choice between, at one point, Manny Ramirez and David Ortiz.
We're going back that far,
We're going back that far.
I hope people are listening.
David Ortiz is a very similar build, very similar type hitter, except I would say he has a little bit more power and a little bit more talent than Edwin Encarnacion at their peaks.
And tendency for clutch hitting.
Yes. For me, based on the league and the dome and the fields that they'll be hitting at, I think Edwin Encarnacion signed at 7 years, $18 million a year, is going to have more residual value. Or even at 5 years, if we're going 5 to 5,
okay,
there's going to be more residual value in Edwin Encarnacion. Plus, I'm saving arguably another $8 to $10 million. To me, I think I'm getting just as much value in Edwin Encarnacion at the plate. At the plate from...
At the plate, yeah, that's a good point.
Then what I'm getting from Jose Bautista. For me, the biggest issue...
Just to side note.
Yes.
The guy just walked past with the Edwin Encarnacion parrot shirt.
It's always the sign, man.
That guy
is key.
We need him on the show. He's got by far the best sports swag I've ever
all
seen.
All Toronto sports
That's
swag.
My bad for taking
no,
you
it's
off
all
your
good.
Point. But it's like, I just saw Eddie and his parrot go by. I was like, Joe, that's a sign. You bring up a good point, though,
that's
about the money.
That's why I would sign him.
The money is one thing. If that allows you to maybe go out and get another arm because... You know, devil's advocate's going to say flip. They've got the power to burn. You know, you've got the dingers to burn. So you get made up the point with the money, and I'll give you credit for that. And I think the second point that I have to agree with you on is the age. 4 years, or wait, is
even
it three?
Five.
3 years?
3 year difference between the two, yeah.
3 year difference.
Or 2.5.
Okay, well, let's call it 3 just to make me feel good about it.
Yeah.
If that really plays into it, and like we're talking about next year, Joey goes down with a heavy injury.
Yeah.
Then what you just said will be, well, like, we'll pay dividends for whatever team realistically risks.
Because if you think about this, and okay, this might sound crazy.
I like crazy things.
If you were to minus Jose Bautista out of the lineup in a year.
Okay.
Okay.
Which could happen.
Which could happen. And you kept Edwin Encarnacion.
Okay.
Your lineup would look like this. Batting order.
Mm-hmm.
You'd probably have Dalton Pompey.
Okay.
Leading off. If he can, if he gets his hitting in order.
There's a lot of probables happening
this
here.
Is, yeah, for sure. But let's say you have this lineup. Tell me what you think of it. Dalton Pompey. Josh Donaldson. Troy Tulowitzki. Edwin Encarnacion. Chris Colabello.
Russell Martin.
Russell Martin. Kevin Pillar. Michael Saunders.
Okay.
And
we're missing a second baseman.
And Ryan Goins.
Okay.
Or, sorry, I lied. My boy Devin Travis.
Well,
somewhere in that lineup, because I absolutely love Devin Travis's bat. You look at that lineup.
Mm-hmm.
I know it sounds crazy.
No, I know where you're going with this,
the
though.
The difference is, though, I feel like once you lose Eddie, in 2 years, you look at Jose in the lineup, and you might be like, oh, man, like, I know you're good, and you've moved into the four spot, but you don't have as much, like, you're not as great at the plate. We still have JD. JD is only 29, 30 years old. Mm-hmm. You still have Tulowitzki for 3 more years, 4 more years. The guy has power in him. That's why he's not a fan of hitting the one spot.
Yep.
So.
No, there's.
That's why I know. But I, you know what's funny? I completely agree with you. But if
awesome.
I, sadly,
thank
if I
you.
Had the choice,
you would
I'd, take,
still,
you, I'd take Eddie.
You would not agree with me.
I would not agree with you if I
awesome.
Had the choice. But
awesome.
My actual choice is I want both.
Mm.
And I would be like, yo, Rogers. Can you just charge everybody an extra cent?
There you go.
On their bill?
Well, that's
keep
my thing.
Jose?
I'm just like, hey, also, side note, Rogers, if you're listening.
Yes.
I just paid for the Super Sports Pack. My girlfriend Jillian, heart and soul of my life, Jem.
Yes.
Spends literally
Beauty.
4 hours on the phone dealing. They're like, oh, yeah, your bill's going to go from $135 to $280. Oh, yeah, sure. Go ahead. Go right ahead. Just
own a part of the Blue Jays now?
Kiss me but before you bend me over, right? So anyway, we deal with this. We work it down. She's like, you know what? I'm like, I'm in sports. I could use a sports pack. Okay, this is what we're going to do for you. I'm going to give you the Rogers sports pack. We're going to trade that in for your movie pack. Da-da-da-da-da. End of the day, it's going to cost you $20 more, and you're going to get everything. Sportsnet World, everything.
Yes.
I'm like, awesome. Supposed to change over on Sunday.
Yeah.
I'm sitting there waiting. I'm like, oh, baby, I'm going to watch all these college basketball games that I don't even care about.
Yeah, crush Bundesliga.
I got 4 more channels. I'm sitting there like, oh, they promised me 50 channels of sports. It's like, wah, wah, sorry, buddy, you're getting taken for a ride. Thanks a lot, Rogers.
So Jose's doing this for you.
Well, this is what I'm saying. Like, I'm getting roped around here for $300. I don't even know what my cell phone bill costs. It's ridiculous.
Yes.
All this money's going to Rogers. Just give the guy some cash. Can we pay the man?
I agree. You know what's even worse? Rob Marsilio's cell phone bill is probably going through the roof because he's been on hold for a while.
He's been on hold for a while.
And
let's get to Rob.
He's probably so mad. So joining us now is our Sports from the Six contributor, Rob Marsilio. Rob, what's going on, man? How are you doing?
Any day you can renew your license plate sticker is a good day in my book. So that's how I got the day started, and now I get to talk to you boys. It's going to be a good one.
So are you telling me that you were in the beautiful town of Newmarket, Ontario today, Rob?
You know it, man. Newmarket's own. Got to represent the northern 905 every once in a while.
Yeah, that's a treat right there, pal. I won't lie.
Exactly.
It's a nice little town.
And now did you walk in and say, like, I'm paying this much, and it is not negotiable? Government of Ontario,
it,
this is how much I'm paying because I'm Rob Marsilio, and that's how much I want.
I gave him the number, no negotiations, it is what it is. So
you gave him the Joey Bats treatment then?
You got it.
That's the way to go.
It seems like it. It's trending pretty heavily right now, looks like that.
Like, on first jump, is this something you think would have happened if Alex Anthopoulos was still the general manager of the Toronto Blue Jays?
Mm.
It all depends on how Alex would have handled the situation. I don't know if he would have tried to lock him up in the off season. We know what happened 5 years ago when Alex really put his neck out there for the guy. Do you remember he was taking a lot of heat for signing him for 13 mil a season or whatever he was making? Mm-hmm. It was 5 years, 65 million or whatever.
Yep.
So I think that there was a relationship there that I just don't think they've had time to develop with this new regime. I'm not trying to defend anybody and how everything's been handled so far, but I think it's a very Joey Bats-esque move. He's a very smart guy. I wasn't surprised by it. I was very, like, obviously, I wouldn't say overjoyed by it, but it was very nice to see somebody kind of stepping up to the man. And he's really saying what all the fans are thinking as well, I think.
Rob, I totally agree with you. I think it's a very calculated move on Joey's behalf. He knows what he's doing. He's lighting a bit of a fire maybe under Shapiro and Atkins to say, look, let's get this deal done. I look at it this way, and Joe and I were talking about it before the show. Edwin Encarnacion is also in a contract year. Joey's entering the year in a contract year. Do you think that incentive for both these players really in, this is their do or die time to make the last bit of big cash in their primes, right, quote-unquote prime, do you think this could actually maybe pay off for the Jays if they don't get deals done? How do you look at it that way, if they don't get these guys signed before the season?
It's funny because I was actually talking to a buddy about that exact same thing, and I said the exact same thing as you there, Flip. Like, maybe this will light a bit of a fire under them. With a guy like Jose Bautista, who's been with the organization for 8 years, though, I don't think you'd kind of do him dirty like that. I think if anybody's earned the money, it's this guy in the city.
I agree.
And I'm not going to go all Arden Zwelling and do a big speech or anything. But
that's okay. You can do whatever you want, pal.
No, so I think it would cause maybe some strain in the clubhouse. I think it's already, like I said, it seems like everybody's kind of walking on eggshells trying to get to know everybody. Again, I'm not in the clubhouse. I'm very, like, viewing from just as far away as you guys are. But I don't think they need to kind of prove anything else this year. I think that they've proved it. Jose Bautista, I don't know, there's all the talk about, hey, this guy's 36 years old. I think he's 35 now. He will be 36, next offseason. Yeah. Is he going to start tailing off a little bit? I think that people will say the prime of a baseball player's career is between the ages of, let's say, 28 and 33.
Unless you're on juice.
Exactly. Unless you're playing in the late 90s or whatever, during the 90s. But
I agree with you.
I think that he's not breaking down like you would expect a power hitter to break down. I kind of think that he's, I don't know if I'd call it the new breed, but I think it's definitely the way things are trending in the MLB. These guys are, they're working on, it's bat speed, bat speed, bat speed. It's not trying to bulk up in the gym. You see what happens to a guy like Brett Laurie, who everybody blamed kind of his, I'll call it over-swollenness.
Yeah, hashtag Red Bull.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So hashtag Red Bull. He's too kind of tight, and it made him a little injury prone. I think a guy like Joey Bats has proven, he had a couple freak injuries. One was because he got a little ticked off at the Orioles there, and then the other one was that freak follow through and they're kind of out of it near the end of a couple seasons ago. So I don't know. I think that's a guy you pay some money to because he's proven that he can do it in a, I'll call it an innovative way. The kind of Josh Donaldson, Joey Bats kind of is leading that charge.
Well, I mean, he's a blue collar superstar. He's something that I don't think happens on a daily basis. You know, when you look at other potential superstar franchise players, usually they come out of that draft and you know who they are. You know them as a five-tool baseball player, somebody with absolutely every tool and intangible. And although Jose Bautista was arguably drafted with that type of mentality, he didn't prove it until he was a lot older. So,
exactly.
But, I mean, you know, you touched on something saying, you know, right now we're far away from this room and we don't understand what the clubhouse is like, but I mean, we've had our experiences with the Toronto Blue Jays, and the first thing I noted last year when we went into spring training is they felt very sterile. The entire organization, the system, the way they work, their PR staff, they're very, very business-oriented, very bureaucratic. And I think one of the biggest issues here is that Jose Bautista made note and light of that. He clearly said this is not fully on Mark and Ross. The issue here is that this is going to be a business decision from our company. And he said, we don't know how much they make, yet we have a budget. And I think something that I agree with you is that why not pay the man for what he's done for you before? Because unlike the NHL and unlike, you know, other leagues with a salary cap, the Blue Jays can pay as much money as they like to players that they believe deserve it. But like, how much of an issue is the Blue Jays' budget becoming? Because to me, ever since the Blue Jays lost Game 6 against the Royals, it's been right. nothing but a black shadow and a black cloud on top of these Toronto Blue Jays. It's everything about the organization that's starting to become the problem. And I think all fans have the same sentiment of you as you, that just pay the man. Give him what he deserves.
Yeah, and it's a good point. Like, there is no cap, and right, Rogers is a massive company, and the Blue Jays are one division of one division kind of thing, and there's budgets left and right, but you got to run at a loss in some places to make money in other places. I'm not going to pretend to be a financier or anything like that, but it's just it's simple facts of looking at what other guys have made too.
Yep.
At similar points in their career, how they performed up to that point. The one guy that I want to draw a comparable to was Carlos Beltran signed a contract with the Yankees in 2014, and it was 3 years, $15 million. He never proved he was any more or less injury prone than Jose Bautista. I'd say he was more injury prone, to be honest with you, leading up to that. He didn't put up the same kind of numbers.
Nope.
Jose Bautista, in what he's done the past few seasons, has earned, if you're going to look at it, that Carlos Beltran's making $15 million a year, you got to put Jose at 18, 20. You look at some of the guys who are making more than that, it's just kind of ridiculous. You wouldn't even put them in the same category as Jose Bautista right now, production-wise. So, no. If I'm going to pay one of them, I know, Flip, you asked me about Edwin. I wasn't really kind of prepared to talk about that guy as much as Jose today, but
cause I like that's when
he's been making all the news.
That's
but,
okay.
I think you pay Jose. He can do what Edwin does for you right now anyways. Once Jose, if he's starting to break down a little bit, okay, put him at first base and DH a bit. Like, this guy, he's going to be able to hit. He's going to be able to hit until he's old. Like,
I agree with you, Rob.
Old man, so.
And I think he brings more to the table than Eddie does personally. If you want to talk about in the clubhouse, I truly do believe this is Joey Bats' team. On and off the field, they kind of carry themselves with his kind of swagger and his confidence. Also, if you want to talk about intangible things that are going to make this contract negotiation more difficult for the Toronto Blue Jays is, and I know this isn't on-field stuff, but he is the most popular athlete in Toronto right now. That bat flip, the ride that the city was on from the Jays, it was unbelievable for the city, and I'm just going to find it hard to believe after the things that Joe has just mentioned about the dark cloud around Atkins, around Shapiro, the Anthopoulos thing. We can go on about it. I find it really hard for them to make a move that isn't like what we were saying and just pay the man. So I really do believe that he gets his money. I don't know what that really shakes down to. Our man Shai Davidi on the radio yesterday with, I believe it was Primetime Sports, said the floor is $100 million. The floor for the contract starts at $100 million, and I got to wholeheartedly agree. I think that point you made about Beltran making 15, if Carlos Beltran is making $15 million, if you want to talk about what Joey is worth to the team, I could even see that number going as high as 26 if you want to really talk about it. But that's just me. I'm a little bit biased. But you know what? You've also brought up on your story that you wrote a couple weeks ago, Rob, about the lineup, how it shakes down. Joey always in that third spot. But really, it's the leadoff position this year that's going to have a big question mark in it, Rob. What do you think? Who do you think slots into that spot?
Well, and you know what's funny that you bring that up is because one of the guys that I kind of mentioned in that piece was Michael Saunders, and we all know that he's been in the news a little bit lately as well with a potential trade for that Jay Bruce deal, which is kind of being disputed by Ross Atkins from what I gather. But
he disputed everything. It was like the worst press conference I've ever heard.
Yeah, it was a great one. I caught the tail end of it rolling into the 905.
Real gem.
Brutal.
Yeah, it is, you know, again, they're going to have to get to learn that guy too, I guess. But yeah. As for, I don't think my stance has changed. Like, I'm of the mind that who else is there? I still, Kevin Pillar, love you. Great defensive center fielder. Still haven't proven you can hit in the leadoff role. Ryan Goins, I don't know if we've seen a much better defensive second baseman in the league in the last kind of couple years. There are guys, but
other than against the Royals.
Again.
Whoa. Don't go there.
Again, not a leadoff hitter. Michael Saunders, Band-Aid. I just you know, I just say, why not Russell Martin for a month till Devin Travis gets back? He proved he could handle the bat last year. But again, the Jays were missing him for how long? From the end of May kind of till the end of the season. So.
Yeah, it's a big question mark, definitely. You know, you mentioned a few guys there that could slot into it. I like where your head's at with the Russell. Why not give him a shot? I do think it's going to be a couple guys that are going to be able to showcase in that leadoff role and see who impresses Gibby the most. I really, at this point, don't know who it's going to be. In the back of my mind, I loved Tulo leading off. I don't think he's really comfortable there personally. I know he's a good team guy, and he's come out and said, I'll hit wherever I need to
hit. Yeah, he hated it.
But you could tell he was not comfortable. Although, in my mind, if you could get Tulo hitting in that leadoff spot with comfort and with consistency, it's just so many dangerous things to come after that. If you have to start your day hitting with Tulowitzki as the leadoff, it's just nasty stuff. But I agree, Rob. Your point with Russell Martin is well taken. You were really on point with that. But what was more impressive, Joe,
was Rob calling Bubba Watson as a second pick.
Boom.
To win the Northern Trust.
That was pretty good, Rob.
Way to go, bud. Yeah.
Why don't you?
I don't just talk over here, you know. That's what we do. A couple things.
Well, that's what we're good at, you know. Hot air. You've known that for a while, Rob. But also, I want to give you props because you're one of your sleeper picks, Mark Leishman. Is it Leishman or Leishman?
Yeah, Mark Leishman, my buddy, Mark Leishman.
He crept right in there. I'm looking at the final standings here. He was only three shots off the pace, and you would have gotten 300-1 for old Leishy boy.
I think he was going off at 150. I think it was Brendan DeYoung that was going off a little crazy, and he ended up. He was my only MC of the tournament, missed cut, but
that's okay.
You don't get paid for missed cuts, you know what I mean?
Well, you know what, Rob, we're not all perfect, and we're learning, so we'll get there. We'll get there. Micro parlays, buddy.
I was happy with how my picks went last week. Bubba kind of coming on strong the last few holes. He kind of slipped a bit and then ended up co-crack, slip coming down the stretch too.
Mm-hmm.
Watson took home the prize. It was his second one in the past few years. You got to love a long bomber on a course like Riviera. I don't know. I think my whole grass theory, I'm going back to it this week.
I like that.
It was on the Kikuyu grass last week. This week we got the Honda Classic.
Nice.
The old bear trap.
You know, Palm Beach, little bear trap. Exactly. Yeah. So we got a Palm Beach boy. This week, I'm not gonna give the whole article away. I gotta tease it a little bit.
You'll be getting
some picks coming at you. But look out for Brooks Koepka. I'm really liking Brooks Koepka.
You know what? That
week.
Is your boy. When we were at the Valspar Championship, you were all about Brooks Koepka. I remember that.
You know what? I'm happy you bring the Valspar up because you know who won the Valspar last year was Jordan Spieth, and isn't it amazing what a difference a year makes and how you look at a guy, kind of thing. Like,
well, and that's the thing. I was just gonna say, like, now that. Every week it seems like there's a new like big four or new like top five, and it's, you know, you look at the Bubba Watson's raw ability and raw talent. If Bubba Watson could figure out his mental game and, you know, get his head off of the putting green and just kind of play, I look at Bubba Watson at every tournament and you're like, how can he not be a competitor? Because unlike certain players, Bubba has the ability to play any course because he plays the game his own way. He's very creative with his shot-making ability. And if he is able to kind of fine-tune it, I can always see Bubba an absolute bomber and being able to win at any tournament he's at.
Oh, I 100% agree. Yeah, it's exactly like you said. It's just kind of that mental game and raw ability is exactly right. Like, the guy taught himself the golf swing. Nobody swings like him. Nobody shapes like him. Nobody's got kind of his vision. And that's nobody. Like, because not many people can do what he does with the golf ball. Hit it as far as he hits it. Hit it as high as he hits it. If you can hit a 2-iron and it lands as softly as most guys are hitting an 8 or a 9-iron,
right,
you've got a pretty big advantage on the rest of the field. So,
Rob, it was your first cracks at the pick segment. You knocked it out of the park, pal. I got to say, as the guy who was kind of championing that segment of the show and of the site now, I got to appreciate it, pal, and I got to give you your creds because, you know, that was your first crack at it, and you knocked it out of the park, so good job, pal.
Let's hope for back-to-back weeks.
Yeah.
See how we do next weekend.
Well, that's the thing. The pressure's on now, and the fans out there are going to be waiting to see what your picks are. So stay tuned to Sports from the Six. And thank you very much, Rob, for jumping on episode number 35, I believe. We very much appreciate it, buddy. Thank you very much.
Of course. For sure, guys.
Well, whether it's on the diamond or on the fairways, Rob is going to keep you in the green.
Woo-hoo!
What? Look
See,
at that.
Joe, why don't you have a sick little outro for me for that? I've been doing picks for a while. It's like, yeah, listen to Flip's picks if you don't want to make any cash. Thanks,
no,
bro.
I gave you a theme song.
Jeez. I know. The theme song. I love my theme song.
It's
awesome.
Good, man. It's good.
We're
developing it.
We'll bring it back.
We're growing. Well, there's going to be pain.
You and I love to talk so much that we haven't even been able to have time for a Flip's picks segment on the show.
Yes.
On the podcast. Thankfully,
we have
a gorgeous new digital platform you can check out. www.sportsfromthesix.com, just like that.
Yeah, and if you want, you can Google it. We're on
Google
the first
it.
Page.
We are on the first page of Google. We are still waiting for someone to call us and say, hey, we want to pay you for this.
Bill Simmons, if you're out there.
It's coming, though.
We'll be your Toronto Grantland. Just hook us up.
Hey,
bud.
It's coming, Joe. I can feel it. It's all... No, it's not coming as fast as a Stanley Cup for the Toronto Maple Leafs.
No, man.
But
I think we'll beat that.
The steps are happening in the right direction. I was speaking to a good friend of mine, Eric Regan, this morning. Plays professional hockey in South Korea. He tends to think this, Joe, and I want to start off this segment on the Leafs this way. Looking at the moves they've made, 12 picks now potentially in the draft this next year, 2016 draft, sorry,
yep.
This year's draft. I believe if they make the playoffs, somehow they lose a pick, right? Is that how it's supposed to work?
No, it's if Pittsburgh makes
Sorry,
the playoffs, then the Leafs get their
another
extra
pick.
First rounder.
So
yeah.
It's looking like 12. Pittsburgh 12 should probably
13,
make it.
Yeah.
So all these things are now starting. This is a real rebuild, Joe.
Yes.
This is not in the past, oh, we're going to grab some washed-up guys. And
no,
we're
this is
try.
Historic. This
has
never
legit.
Happened. Yeah.
This is legit now. And I want to ask you this. My friend Eric Regan thinks... The way things are going at this pace, the way that they've been able to shed Dion's contract, Phil's contract, Clarkson's contract, and all the moves that they've making, how the Marlies are looking, he says 4 years. 4 years before, not 4 years in a cup, 4 years and we're talking about the potential. Maybe they're not winning it in four. Maybe that's when they start getting over the hump. But I think four sounds right. I was at the 5 to 6. Maybe I'm biased because we all know why I'm biased. But I kind of tend to agree with him. I like the four-year number, and I want to see what you think about that.
Well, I mean, I think that's the timeline people are looking at, especially mm-hmm. with the way the team has been building mm-hmm. from their farm system in the last couple of years. I mean, although the Leafs don't have a multitude of superstars on the Marlies.
I agree.
What they do have is a great, like, top, like, bottom nine.
Ooh.
They look like they have a lot of second and third liners that can fit in, guys that have talent. You look at Connor Brown. You look at Freddie the Goat.
Mm-hmm.
You look at guys that have ability, like Leipzig, to be able to grind. And then you install players that have potential to be top flight wingers and forwards.
Marner, Nylander.
Right? And then plus, you know, Kapanen looks like a second liner at his peak.
Hopefully but, Austin Matthews.
Right? Or Puljujarvi or Laine. I mean, those guys are studs.
Yep.
The Toronto Maple Leafs are in a situation where, you know, I keep hearkening back to this. They compare a lot to what I remember in Philly with the Phantoms, how the Phantoms were studs. They won the Calder Trophy.
They dominated.
They moved up, and then you saw that potential.
Mm-hmm.
What I'm really intrigued by is, you know, it's funny you gave that same timeline, because Pierre Maguire said the same thing today.
Oh, no. You're not comparing me to Pierre, are you?
No, I'm comparing your
thank
boy.
You. Yeah, thank
Pierre,
you.
Pierre Maguire said the same thing, that if he were to put a bet on it, it's 3 to 4 years that Lou Lamoriello and Mike Babcock can turn the ship around. But what's so fun to watch is knowing that the Leafs are going to have their own talent from scratch.
Mm-hmm.
And they're going to be taught the right way. They're going to be taught the Maple Leaf way. It's going to be so impressive. And not to mention that guys like Marner, Nylander, and them get the opportunity to come into a team where, this might sound really weird, But in 2 years, you're going to be looking at Morgan Riley as a veteran defenseman.
Right.
You're going to be looking at, you know, James Van Riemsdyk as a potential, like, assistant captain veteran around the team.
Oh, yeah.
Nazem Kadri, if he's still around, going to be a developed second, like, second to third line center.
I tend to think he will be, the more that, and maybe we can get off on a little Kadri tangent here if we want. Yeah. I tend to think that he will be around. The more that I watch Kadri play away from the puck, and I know it's like, Flip, how are you watching someone play away from the puck when you watch on TV? You're right. I don't get to see every move the kid makes.
Right.
But I'm really liking Naz's game this year. I was also down at the ACC a couple times covering the game. I love the way he's carrying himself. He's really taken on a leadership role with a younger team. He's taking on – I just love the pride of the team, the pride of the crest. He really takes pride in being a Toronto Maple Leaf. And all that is well and good and all nice and warm and fuzzy. But he's also starting to play good on the ice.
Yeah.
Maybe he's not putting up a ton of points, but that pass he made the other night where he dangled into the slot and put it over to...
That was fantastic.
Was it Holland buried it or something?
It was actually, I believe, Spalling.
Ouch. But anyway, it was a beautiful, beautiful play.
Got him a second rounder.
And yeah, exactly. Yeah. But... you mentioned guys who will be here, Riley and Gardner and Van Riemsdyk. I do think Kadri stays. I think he's one of those Babcock products. He's going to shine him up real nice, and he's going to be a solid, maybe, I don't know, maybe second line, maybe third line. I don't know what he does. I don't know what Kadri has in store.
Right.
But the point you were making that these guys that are now, who are still around,
right,
both on the Marlies and with the big club, because, you know, I do think the Leipzigs, the guys that are down there, I think as much as, who knows, they could be pulled the trigger at any time,
yeah,
I think that they're going to give these guys a chance. And that's what we always called for with Ron Wilson's teams and with Randy Carlyle's teams, was give the guys down there a legitimate shot.
Yeah.
Don't pull them up for one game and then go back with the veteran who is playing crap just because, you know, he's making the money.
Well, we saw that with Josh Levo, right?
Right. And he played amazing. And then he got hurt, of course.
Obviously.
He sniped a few beautiful goals, and these guys are going to get the chance. And we're seeing it tonight. You mentioned it. Leipzig and Stu Percy are getting called up to replace the trade that just happened. So it's going to keep happening. And my question for you now is, we're mentioning all these guys that are going, some of the guys that are staying. Who's the next to go?
That's probably the toughest question right now.
That's why I'm asking you.
You know what? Honestly, my number one guy was Roman Polak, and I knew he was going to go. I knew he was going to go to the West. He's got the tenacity for it.
Great move for the Sharks, by the way.
Fantastic move. He's going to be the type of guy. He's going to have the physicality that they love in Brent Burns. Obviously, he doesn't have the skill set of Brent Burns, but that's the type of stuff you need in a Western Conference playoff round, because they don't just hit, they hurt. Like, every hit kills in the Western playoffs. But I would say right now, my number one target, if I'm someone else coming to the Leafs, is P.A. Parenteau.
Okay. He would have been my second, but go ahead and
explain.
So
I would definitely go P.A. Parenteau, because looking at him, he's proven that he can skate. He's proven that he can get physical and get into the corners, obviously. He's not a big boy, but he's not afraid to get in it. Yeah, he's grinding, absolutely.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
He's at 15 goals this year. He's on pace for about 25-ish, 23, which is great for a guy who last year looked like he might not be in the league.
And considering the people he's been playing with, that's pretty impressive, especially if you're looking at a team that has depth and they're just looking to kind of add a piece in. I don't know where he could go.
Yeah.
But if you're thinking about it as that move, I would agree with you in terms of he's going to be the next to go. I look at it this way. I think that the player that brings the most attention is the player that's performed the best. And that, to me, is James Reimer.
I was going
to
say, that's my dark horse for a massive pick.
So I think he will be going.
Okay. Where do you see him going? Because I feel like we have the same sense of where he's going.
Okay, well, here's my thing, and I said it a long time ago with Bernier, and I thought Bernier was going to Calgary.
Yeah.
I really do think they need a goalie.
Yeah.
And maybe it's not the answer long-term that Calgary fans are. They're looking at James Reimer and Bernier being like, oh, my God, are you kidding me?
Yeah.
But with the team Calgary has, and with a change of scenery, I think both goalies could slot in well there. It's just, if you're Calgary and both are available, why would you go for Bernier when you can get Reimer, is what I'm saying. So I would see him going next, and I would say Calgary. Why not? I've been saying that for months now, and I'm going to continue it. Shout out Matt Lowry, because I stole that from him.
So for me, I am looking at the Stanley Cup contenders.
Whoa.
That's who I'm looking at.
You're going
at.
High with Rhymes.
Yeah, and here's why.
I'm listening.
The Eastern Conference has seen goalies go down. And look at Carey Price. They had Dustin Tokarski, Peter Budaj, and, like, I was on the bench.
I hate Peter Budaj. Continue. Somehow I saw he got a
Flanders mask. It's the Ned Flanders mask. Hold on. Who has Ned Flanders on their mask?
Can we talk about this for a second that he's still playing in the NHL? I saw that he got a start the other night. I don't even know what team he's playing for.
Peter Budaj?
He's still in the NHL. Continue talk, and I'm going to look
it up. Big shout out. So, I'm looking at, to be honest with you,
yep.
A team like Nashville.
Really?
Because I think Nashville are a little bit worried about Pekka. He's been up and down this year. Because
they have Hutton and backup.
Yeah,
and he's
you
solid.
Know what? They're not. You know what? He is, but he doesn't have any playoff pedigree. Reimer does. I know
true.
That's very tiny.
No. That's a good point.
James Reimer has also played a ton more games than he has. And another one I'm looking at is, although Grubauer has shown he can play well for Washington, I just think Reimer in Washington behind Holtby just
now,
in case.
Now I think you're onto something with that.
I think that one fits really well because Holtby.
I agree.
If he goes down, it's over.
Also, he's a mid. What is he? No, he's from Saskatchewan, Holtby, isn't he?
I believe so, yeah.
Saskatoon Blade?
Yeah.
So you have a Prairie boy and Reimer as well.
Well, maybe they'll get along.
That's what I'm saying. Maybe because they
but
also
But that's what
know,
I'm looking at.
And I love that because I think that's the scenario where Reimer plays into well.
Right.
In terms of this. Reimer, we know, is a great teammate. We know he's been a good, quiet, I'll just take my lickings.
And do my
and,
work, yeah.
Right. Which I see him fitting in well behind Holtby because Holtby's the man, don't get me wrong. He's the dude there.
Yeah.
But I see you bringing in Reimer to a scenario where the bona fide number one isn't as established, kind of rocking the boat going into the playoffs, and you don't want to do that.
Yeah.
But in Washington, Holtby is clearly the guy now.
Well, you're literally telling Holtby, like, bud, this guy's only here to sit on the bench, and if God forbid something happens right. to you, knock on wood, mm-hmm. he's going to make – at least we have a chance.
Right. And you know what? The more I think about it, the more I think you hit the nail on the
and
head.
And that's a team that will give up a first-rounder because it doesn't matter.
I
and even a lower-line prospect and a first-rounder, it's like, well, screw it. We need to win a Stanley Cup here.
Because you also – you brought up another great point is you know they're not touching – that on-ice product right now.
Absolutely
there's no
not.
Way you're messing with the chemistry that's going on in there.
Yeah.
I don't even care if it's the water boy. No one's going.
Right.
It's a prospect from the AHL or a pick for sure.
Right.
Because Washington looks dominant. And I'd like to say a few months ago, Flip said when they started cooking, I'm taking Washington as my Stanley Cup pick.
Look
and now
guy.
I'm just, man, my picks have been so sporadic and sketch that I have to toot my own horn
yeah.
when they come through because also Washington
yeah.
is cooking with gasoline.
Oh, I know.
Like, they're on fire.
They're
but
hot.
Peter Budaj?
Yes.
Got a win.
No.
For the LA Kings a couple weeks ago.
No. Oh,
he
yeah,
played his
Quick
first
was hurt.
NHL game since 2014. Quick was hurt and Enroth got hurt and they had to bring him up from the AHL and
no.
he played. They signed him and he played and he got the win.
What
so,
a beauty.
So anyway, yeah,
that's amazing.
Peter Budaj's little moment in the sun.
Well,
but let's put a bow on this episode, Joe.
Yeah,
what are
I
you
mean,
thinking?
Before we wrap it up, right now I think the most interesting and the most key person in the Toronto Maple Leafs organization is going to be Mark Hunter moving forward.
Okay.
This is his ship to sink or swim.
Mm-hmm.
From everyone I've spoke to, the stuff he's able to see and the things he's able to do and what he was able to build in London, he saw Mitch Marner as a 5'1", 106-pound nothing.
Yeah.
And he's like, this kid's got it. And he listened to everybody that from Don Mills that told him this kid's a stud. He's got an eye. He's got the right type of eye
mm-hmm.
for talent and skill because that's what it takes to win in the NHL now.
Yes.
I'm so excited for the NHL draft.
Me too.
If Edmonton wins.
Oh, no. I'm
the lottery,
glad. I'm glad we're ending this because I thought about it before.
I'm literally hopping on a bus.
Oh, God.
And I'm going to find Daryl Cates. And I'm taking this kid, and I'm saying, listen, if this kid is given one more first overall pick a jersey,
oh,
I'm
no.
ending it.
You know what?
This isn't happening. You're not allowed to keep having these picks.
As of today.
Because it shouldn't be allowed. I'll lose it if the Leafs don't get the first overall to Edmonton.
As of today, the Toronto Maple Leafs currently sit at 50 points in the NHL.
Beauty.
And that is tied for dead last
Woo!
With the Edmonton Oilers.
Fantastic.
And if they get another pick, Joe,
like aren't you just going to fly there and lose it?
I make a lot of outlandish statements.
Yeah.
I make a lot of bold, crazy plans.
This is a flips pick you'll stick with?
Just ask my family about my plan to travel to Paul Pierce's place in Washington last year in the playoffs. Yeah. Anyway, if Edmonton gets another first-round pick, not only
like
will
overall, first
I have,
overall.
Right. Not only will I have already lost all...
your marbles.
All my marbles and all my trust in what the NHL draft system is doing, I'm going to lose my trust in what the hell Edmonton is doing.
Oh,
because with that many number one picks, I'm pretty sure you and I could put a winner on the ice.
I did in NHL 14. It was unreal.
You know what? I'll take you on in NHL 14 anytime.
All right.
The new ones are just too many buttons for me. Yeah. I can't, like, I feel like my
dad. You can't
dad,
turn. They're like boats.
I feel like my dad, like, trying to play Madden 12 years ago. What? I can't just hit pass. I just want to hit pass. I'm like, Dad, you can run the ball, too. Well, what the fun is that? There's no fun in that. So, anyway. I'll beat you in NHL 2014.
Fine.
What everyone out there should beat us to is checking out the website. We love it. www.sportsfromthesix.com has got everything you need for your source for Toronto sports. We got the podcast up there. We got stories. We got tweets. We got pictures. Basically, we have everything you need to know. We even have little bios that tell you about us. I'm sure you don't care, but it's up there anyway. Joe, episode 35. Another hit. Pleasure to be here with you, brother. I'm signing off. For Joe Narsa, I'm Big Flip Livingstone. Take it easy, guys.
See you later.